The words of God given to us today is Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 37. Please turn to page 94 of the New Testament. Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 37. Allow me to read the words. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Amen. There was a man who was a pastor and a lecturer, and he was called the Missionary of Hope. He was amputated due to a hit-and-run accident at a young age. And to add more misery, he was diagnosed with stage 4 tonsil cancer. But he overcame his temptations to commit suicide and was able to get a job at an insurance company after applying for 110 different jobs. He later became the sales legend. He gave 6,000 testimonies and lectures and also became a bestseller author who published 24 print editions of his book. The man who turned his life around became the Missionary of Hope, encouraging and touching the hearts of those in despair. But on page 26 of August 5th, Kungmin Daily, was a surprising article on this man that started as follows. This pastor, who was actively giving out lectures as a missionary of hope to religious organizations and corporations, claiming to have sought out his own destiny by overcoming poverty and disability, was found out to have forged his educational and occupational background, that he graduated from Graduate School of Seoul National University and have worked as a deputy director as a public official. This man, who was once called the Missionary of Hope, now turned into a hustler who lied about his academic and career backgrounds and even his miserable history. At the end of this sad and vain article was this sentence that points directly to the core of the problem we often face today. It is quite doubtful if he would have become a special lecturer had he not graduated from Seoul National University or worked as a public official. This man knew that he would have more authority and his words can have more influence in people if they believe that he graduated from the School of Law of Seoul National University or he had worked as a fifth-ranked public official. But I doubt that he was the only one who thought and acted that way. Not all may have lied and forged their backgrounds, but many people skillfully exaggerate their experiences and knowledge in order to make it seem like there is some sort of authority in what they say, because they believe that that is the way to elevate authority. Men typically try to gain control over their opponents during a dispute by checking who's older than the other, as if being older gives them the power to do so. But authority, in other words, the energy of words, does not come from a person's status, position, knowledge, or age. Even if the energy did come from any of those, then it is more like power or dominance. That sort of power is but a mere weapon used to make oneself look higher and make others surrender. A true authority comes from one's life. Authority shines brightest when people live their lives acting up to their own words. Others will open up their hearts and voluntarily obey to the authority in which the person's words and actions match. That is the true authority. Jesus came back to Galilee, not exactly very welcomed in his own hometown, Nazareth. He was rejected by the people who were enslaved by the fatal sin called egocentrism. Jesus, who came back to Capernaum in Galilee, read and taught Bible at the synagogue every Sabbath. But his teachings were fundamentally different from what other teachers of commandments taught. Let us look into verse 31 and 32. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee. And on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. Jesus' words had authority in it, and people were amazed at his teaching. Other teachers were preachers who interpreted and delivered the knowledge about God and or related to the Bible. But Jesus taught with authority as if he himself was the author. The authoritative words of Jesus were a great shock. The Greek word ekplipso in verse 32 of today's passage that was translated as amaze in Korean, which derived from the words hit or strike. So the people were not just surprised by Jesus' words, they were shocked as if they were hit in the head. In fact, Jesus delivered the message from the kingdom of God, which urges people to repent by striking the vicious and hardened consciences and spirits. Think about the synagogue which Jesus preached at. Most people must have come to the synagogue in their parents' arms without other choice since birth. These people were circumcised on their eighth day after birth and listened to and recited the commandments so too many times. Some prick up their ears and open their eyes wide to not miss even a single word. Some can't concentrate on the preaching, worried about the crops that they have messed up due to the long drought. Some try to relieve their anger, even though they feel annoyed, wondering how the commandments can be the answer to the reality in the reality of injustice and violence of the Roman oppression. Some can't win over the boredom and uses the preaching time to make up for the lost sleep. Of course, it sounds very familiar. Sometimes they learn a good lesson that is useful in life. Sometimes feeling guilty, they resolute to gather their senses, thinking that someday great misfortune might strike them. And then one day, a preacher with a totally new preaching style appears out of nowhere. This preacher does not change the subject, nor does he talk ambiguously or coercively. His words just eclipsoed, or strike the consciences and awaken and amaze the minds of the people. Was he really the only one who lied about his educational and occupational backgrounds for his interests? Did you not also exaggerate your experiences, conceal your faults, forge thesis papers and academic backgrounds, and then desire for standing ovations with your fake smile and fictional testimonies? Was Claudius Lysias the only one who desired a higher position, writing a disordered report that shows off his efforts and conceals his exaggerations, even though he knew it was wrong? Can you really throw stones at Governor Felix, who actually quite liked to be bribed, and so overused his power to control people and made others to fall into unfair situations? Jesus stares into the eyes of each and everyone in the audience with rage and smile mysteriously combined on his face. Those eyes must have accused the hypocrisy of the people who have covered themselves up with a piety and shook up the sins and desires ruthlessly. Those eyes must have endlessly forgiven and loved those who repented and changed their hearts. Jesus, who struck the minds of the people in the synagogue in Galilee on the Sabbath day 2,000 years ago, is still telling us on Sundays through the church podiums. Let me read you what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 testifies in the New Living Translation version. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joints and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. To stand before the words means that it will hurt, for it will cut your soul like being cut with a knife, because it will reveal that you have loved the world and sins more than you loved God. To stand before the words means to feel humiliation, as if being stripped off before a crowd, because my desires disguised with piety, goodness, and vision will be revealed. My fellow believers, it's truly a good thing if you are hurt from the cuts by the knife of words, or feel humiliated because your real intentions are revealed inside the light of words. Because that pain and humiliation is the first step of stepping into the true freedom. This will serve as a door of life that allows us end the days of sins and enter the days of grace. When Jesus preached inside the synagogue, many people were very shocked and started to realize that his words had unusual authority in them. Just then, one person from the audience made a scene, shouting in a very loud voice, Let us look into verse 33 and 34 of today's passage. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." When a man cried out loud, all eyes fell on him. The Bible refers to him as a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. To be more exact, he was a man possessed by an impure demon. So how did this man come inside the synagogue? At the time, a synagogue was somewhere where sinners, prostitutes, or possessed people could not enter at all. Then this man was not a strangely dressed, smelling bad, and murderous-looking, hideous person, as we usually see in the movies. Rather, he is more close to a man who is dressed up in suits, talks in a refined manner, and sticks to his devout attitudes and obsessed with moral purity. He may be an expert of disguise who was seized with desires inside, but covered with a likely cause on the outside. But being eplisod before the authority of Jesus, who strikes the souls of people with surprise, the demon could no longer hide his identity and showed its real self. The demon who is revealed of its identity because of the authority of Jesus ironically tells everyone in its own words that Jesus is the one with authority. This demon knew exactly what Jesus that Jesus is the Holy Son of God who will win over all demon possessions and evil through the death of Jesus on the cross. This demon who couldn't hide its impurity before the Holy One defies against Jesus in a very loud voice. "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" The demon threw questions at Jesus in a vulgar, syllogistic way, as if it was the spokesperson of the desires of the people. Volatile tension chills the air inside the synagogue. People all pay attention to the mouth of the person who suddenly got up and shouted. The impure demon uses childish dispute method to argue Jesus' qualification. "Oh, Jesus of Nazareth, what business do you have with us?" This actually means, "Well, you country mouse, where are you from? With what right do you come here to tell us what to do and what not to do?" As we all know, Jesus was not a scholar who took elite courses at the time, nor was he from a big city, which the demon was mocking about. And then the demon throws a sly bait to maliciously distort the intentions of Jesus to confuse the audience inside the synagogue, even though it knew the good intentions of the Lord. "Have you come to destroy us?" What was it trying to make people think? "Sure, let's say you're right. Well, that'll ruin us all. Pay tax honestly? turn the other cheek when someone slaps your right cheek? We're supposed to love those ruthless Roman soldiers? And even the tax collectors? Do not worry about earning food? That will kill us all. The world is a cold-blooded place where you cannot live with such weak mindset and idealism. I will be the one to take its toll. How dare you try to destroy us all? Do you think it is right? It cannot be right. This can't be what Jesus intended. The reason why Jesus stroked the hearts of those people was not to punish them, but because he loved them and wanted to change their hearts. It was to help them enjoy an abundant life, not agony. It was to end the days of the demons that controlled over people with all sorts of filthy desires, and to open the new days of the Holy Spirit. The moment you have to seize to that authority and love, the demon comes to delude you from deep inside. Listen to that Jesus of Nazareth, and you will fail, become unsuccessful, and become a loser in this world. What the impure demon was basically trying to say was to leave them alone. To leave them alone to hate. To resent and complain. To be troubled. To endlessly desire and be greedy. To leave them be, for they will take on the toll. And to stay away from them. The impure demon and those of desire who were seized by the demon would not accept Jesus' words and will keep pushing away. Their hearts are full of their stubborn egos and desires that they have no space to receive him inside. They also doubt the Bible, misinterpret it, and then ignore it. They think the Bible does not reflect the reality and does not understand it, therefore it's only building castles in the air. But the inner side of those who keep pushing away the divinity of God, refusing the love of Jesus, and keep desire to take control over their lives while being separated from God, may seem like that is their own kingdom, but in fact, it's a playground for the demons. Jesus' teaching surely had authority in it. Jesus realized the identity of the impure demon that was hiding slyly inside a seemingly normal man, and revealed it. Impure spirits cannot dare to face the Holy One. The demon also knew itself that it will perish before the Son of God. But Jesus wasn't the type of person who just revealed the true nature of the demon of sins and desires. Verse 35 and 36. "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are! With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits, and they come out." Jesus spoke with authority in front of the demon, unshaken. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Come out of him. Then the man was set free immediately from the demon, and people were amazed. The Greek word, thambos, which was translated as amazed in Korean in verse 36, is different from the amazed that was used in verse 32. Thambos is the sort of being amazed when you witness something so marvelous that it makes you speechless. People were out of words and amazed at the authority of Jesus, who drove out the demon away with just one phrase. Today, we encounter so many surprising events that leave us speechless in our daily lives. We can't keep our mouths closed to find technology innovation that happens overnight. But even the most amazing technology innovation and scientific progress cannot compare to the power or the authority in the words of Jesus Christ, who freed the soul of a man possessed by a demon. Is not the salvation of a man's soul the marvel and wonder itself that leave us out of words? What technology, what economic power, or what type of power can revive a destroyed soul? What sort of authority can free a man from the shackles of sins? Only the love of Jesus Christ can free those possessed by the impure demons. Only the authority in the words of Jesus Christ can purify the lives seized by filthy desires. Only the grace of Jesus Christ can give salvation to our souls seized and possessed by the powers of the earthly things. We are all addicted to something. We're all addicts. It's just a matter of more or less. And each and every one of us live our lives seized by something. We keep searching for things that can seize us because we feel safe when we are seized by something powerful. Some people live seized by power after getting a taste of it because they think they can protect themselves only when they have power in their hands. Some others are seized by mammon worship because they believe there is nothing they cannot do or cannot have with money, and that money can make them live well off. Others live seized by honor. They will gladly sell their souls to receive honor that can guarantee the superiority of their egos. Some people become addicted to pornography to feel less lonely, eventually losing their way out back into reality from the internet world. Some would risk everything they have for success and achievements in order to be loved and acknowledged. Some devote on spending, some in possessing, and some in decorating their egos. They invest all they have, worship it, and then follow the instructions. They know that the subject that sees them cannot perfectly free them, and they still become seized by it. Then, what are we seized by? What are we supposed to be seized by? It's not anything that will disappear, anything earthly. It's Jesus Christ, the only one that can seize us. Jesus Christ is the only one that can give true freedom and peace to our souls. Our Lord, who drove out the impure demon 2,000 years ago in the synagogue of Capernaum in Galilee, still gives out freedom to those seized by the power of sin and death. That is the hope and mission of our Lord. Is there anyone living enslaved by desires, deluded by the impure demons, deprived of the freedom of soul? Is there anyone living seized by the demons of lust, of fear, of competence, or of lies, deprived of the pleasure of living? Is there anyone yearning for true peace and true freedom? Then hold still and stay still when the Lord strikes you with His words today. Admit it when the Lord's words accuse you for your desires. Jesus will drive the impure demon away and then give you freedom. He will surely free us from our bodies of sins and death. He will hold on to our hands with His arms of power that are never too short, and cleanse our spirits and souls spotlessly. Let us pray. Father God, we all sought after the delusions of the filthy and untruthful spirit. We were the slaves of sin and sinners who did not know about the true freedom and peace, bedazzled by desires. We mistakenly thought that self-indulgence of chasing after our desires was a freedom, and that our fake experiences will guarantee our safety. Lord, thank you for coming after us to realize that with the power of life and words of love and freeing our souls. Lord, the true authority lies only in your words. Let us hold on to and seek after your words only, not unto the things in this world. Let our lives be seized by your words, and so allow us to spread the freedom with the authority in your words inside us to our neighbors who are seized by filthy desires. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.